Life Audio.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations.
We want families to come here and gain insightful strategies that empower them to successfully teach diverse learners at home.
Hosted by founder and CEO of Sped Homeschool, Peggy Ployer.
Our goal is that these powerful weekly conversations will boost your confidence to cultivate the best at-home learning environment for your student.
For more homeschool resources, go to spedhomeschool.com. You're listening to Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer. We'll start the conversation with Peggy and her guests next.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool, a nonprofit that empowers families to home educate diverse learners. To learn more, visit spedhomeschool.com. Here's Peggy Ployer.
Today, we are going to learn how to use good books to create great unit studies for the holidays with special guest Cheryl Swoop from Cheryl Swoop Consulting and author of Simply Classical. Welcome, Cheryl, and thanks for rejoining us on the broadcast.
Thank you, Peggy. It is wonderful to be here. And just for the record, it's Cheryl Swoop, rhymes with rope.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I always get that wrong, too. I gotta remember that. Thank you. And thanks for being back with us. Want to thank the listeners and viewers that are already popping on. If you're listening on the podcast, just know that we do this broadcast live on Facebook and YouTube. And you can always join us. You can check out our upcoming schedule of broadcasts. And this podcast is always produced a couple days after. Or not a couple days, a couple weeks after our normal regular broadcast. So, definitely want to check those out and all of the things on our YouTube channel that like 900 videos, I think we have there right now. But we are approaching the holiday season. And if you're listening to the podcast, we're already there. But we wanted to just encourage you this month with learning how to do some more interactive types of studies with your kids instead of maybe just the normal, kind of mix things up, but not mix things up in a way that is going to cause more stress in your life. We just want you to have more joy and more fun in this holiday season while you're home educating. And so, Cheryl, I'm super excited to be talking about how to turn good books into all-in-one holiday unit studies with you. So why don't you kick us off and just give us a little bit of information about you, your family, and maybe some holiday homeschooling traditions that you have.
Our family is my husband and myself. We've been married more than 30 years, but 26 years been attempting to have children, but none had come our way. We were praying. I felt like Hannah, just Lord, please grant me a child. And I promise with your help to have that child or children serve you. And those were long years initially, but the Lord granted our prayer, and we were given through adoption twins, a boy and a girl. Their names are Michael and Michelle. They are now 27 years old. But when they came to us as babies, they had a lot of special needs. I have a master's degree in special ed. I've always been drawn to children who struggle in one way or another. Mm. So it was, we felt truly a match made in heaven.
Yeah, yeah.
They both have autism. They both have speech or language difficulties, processing, learning disabilities, and then they both have mental illness. Mm-hmm. Their biological mother had schizophrenia. They both developed that themselves as early kind of preteen for my daughter, and then early teen for my son. But the good thing was that we knew to look for this. So we found top specialists to treat early and well. Mm-hmm. And we still have access to very good care for both of them. Wow. But what we could not find, I was interested in classical Christian education. Mm-hmm. It was trying to become a movement. What I could not find was a school that mm-hmm. would children, given their challenges, which was understandable. And I had always kind of hoped that I could homeschool anyway. I had some friends homeschooling. So this was my ticket to be able to just homeschool them.
Yeah.
Really. So we homeschooled from the beginning, and we said we would just take it 1 year at a time.
Mm, that's good. They were
thriving. Mm-hmm. And that 1 year turned into their entire education from toddlerhood when they came to us all the way through their graduation.
Wow.
So that's kind of our background.
Yeah. And, I love that 1 year at a time. That's such a good philosophy.
Someone recommended it to me. It was also very helpful for extended family what if they don't have friends, you know, the kind of people are concerned about. But of course we hooked up with good homeschooling families.
Right.
They did have friends. So did we. Mm-hmm. And it was helpful to be able to say, we're just going to take this 1 year at a time. If anything is ever better for them, we will choose that.
Yeah.
It kind of took that. Mm-hmm. Pressure off.
Right.
So that whole story is told in Simply Classical.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful book. Mm-hmm.
For any child. Simply Classical. A beautiful education for any child. And from that came a Simply Classical curriculum, which includes a lot of read alouds. Today we're talking about books and read alouds.
Yeah. Yes.
So our holiday tradition you asked about.
Yeah.
We knew a family that took off every December.
Hmm.
They did not homeschool during December because there's so many parties and caroling opportunities,
right?
Baking opportunities, just so much that you can do. And then also, mm-hmm. the children need more sleep, at least our children.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So, I found that with my children, I could never just take off.
Mm-hmm.
And not have a schedule, not have a routine. That didn't work.
Yes. Yep.
So books came to the rescue.
Ah.
I didn't always want more glitter and glue and
exactly extra stuff. Yes,
that's right. Although we did some of that, but what we started doing, we gathered a lot of books about Advent or Christmas.
Mm.
We kept them in a bin. Then every year when we brought out our Advent wreath, then at the same time we'd bring out our various books. So that bin grew over time.
Oh, I'm sure.
It became our holiday tradition to just sit on the sofa and read those books.
Mm.
So my daughter, I brought some for show and tell. My daughter at 27 still has favorites. She said, I want you to share some of these.
So,
this was her childhood favorite.
Ah, Away in the Manger. And who is that written by?
It is retold by Debbie McKinnon, it says. And what it is, it's the play of Luke 2.
Oh, okay.
So, with children.
Mm-hmm.
Time I was actually running our children's program, if you will, but we mm-hmm. It was just the traditional Luke 2. Every year, the children in our congregation had that as an evening message for. So my daughter was very familiar with. With that, it tells the story, but then it features children playing the different roles.
Right. So I'm sure that brings back memories of those events too, not just of the book. So that's kind of neat how that ties all in.
Right. Yes, I was kind of surprised when she said, this is one of my favorites, but you're probably right. It was because she remembered looking and hoping that
maybe
she would be tapped to play Mary.
Oh.
Things. And my son was a narrator. He was very proud of that when he was well enough to be able to read from Luke 2. There's another one called A Tree for Christmas. This was another favorite of hers.
After a word from our sponsor, we'll dive back into this conversation.
This is Empowering Homeschool Conversations, provided by Sped Homeschool. Go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home.
So, what we talked about in setting up our podcast today, you and I, was how do you create a unit study?
Right.
A book. So it's more than just reading a book, but how do we make education well beyond that? So,
because most people think of just like literature arts and they're like, oh yeah, we're reading and that's it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we are. And in a sense, that's enough. If we're bringing words and words of truth, words of beauty, words of comfort, hope to our children, then that is, it is certainly enough.
Mm-hmm.
If you're taking off a week or 2 weeks in December, you want it to have maybe some more educational impact.
Right.
So here's an example of one that that we actually include in Simply Classical. It is called St. Nicholas, the real story of the Christmas legend.
Ah.
This is by Julie Stegemeyer. I love her books. Not only is this countercultural, we are not just saying as Christians, no Santa Claus. We're not doing that. We're giving them the truth about St. Nicholas. Okay, so yes, we have literature, words. Yes, we have art. This particular book has wonderful art. Let me find
an example. It looked like that from the front cover.
Right. So that's St. Nicholas.
Oh, that's beautiful.
But truly was. Tells the story of the man who was a pastor, St. Nicholas. And how children would flock around him because his words were filled with God's love for them, whether they were poor or lame or anything. He loved the children. You think of Mark 10:14, Jesus calling all children to himself, let the children come to me.
Right.
Well, St. Nicholas was like that. So he's telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ to these children. There was a family in the story. It tells about a little boy. So this is the one that the children will identify with. Is the little boy comes to St. Nicholas. His family, he's concerned about his family. His family has a problem financial. It involves his three sisters.
Yep.
So he pleads with St. Nicholas to help his family. The story goes on to tell how St. Nicholas prays for help from to help and serve all the people in his care, but it's in particular this little boy's family. So this the story goes on to share how, because of the love of Christ in St. Nicholas, flowed through him to the family, that that family was served. And it sets us for why we give gifts to each other, because of the gift of forgiveness, salvation, that we've been given in Christ. From that, we are enabled and inspired, if you will, to give to others. So it's just a very, it's a charming story. We can incorporate geography because in fact, they talk about where he lived. So he was in an area on the Mediterranean Sea across from Greece in modern Turkey. It was in Asia Minor.
Okay. So
what we often did is we have a we had a globe next to I preferred that over the flat map.
Right, yeah.
So first, and we first always said, where are we? So,
yes.
In our case, we're in Missouri in the United States. All right, now let's see if we can find Greece. And then we could find across from Greece. There's the Mediterranean Sea. There's Turkey. This was called something different back in that day. It was Asia Minor. That is where St. Nicholas lived. So, So, geography, history, Christian studies, and comfort as well. All in a book that has literature and art. And, and again, the truth to help combat all of the commercialism and and kind of anti-Christ focus to Santa Claus. Now you can merge the two in a safe and
And you're equipping your children to understand everything, not just taking out because it just doesn't agree with. You know, we don't agree with the mainline view of Santa Claus, but but giving them more instead of taking away and making it less.
Exactly. Right. And we don't have to do make-believe either. We don't have to pretend that Santa Claus exists.
Right.
If we don't want to do that, we can sidestep that whole thing. So I love that book. Another.
Yeah.
Is called Christmas Day in the Morning. We include this as now it's by Pearl S. Buck. The Good Earth. She received a Nobel Prize, Pulitzer Prize. What I love about these books that we chose is the language. It's so different than how we speak.
Right.
I read something that was very persuasive to me early on, that in our own conversations, we use X amount of words, let's say 5,000. But when we read, we're expanding that so much more.
Yes.
So vocabulary, not just what it's just the way things are said. So here, this is about a boy, by the way, he's 15. So picture books are not just for little kids.
Yes, that's a good point.
So at 3:15, he got up and put on his clothes. He crept downstairs, careful of the creaky boards and let himself out. The big star hung lower over the barn roof, a reddish gold. The cows looked at him, sleepy and surprised. I just love, I love the other thing. This too is motivated by love. He says that he overheard one morning his father talking to his mother. They lived on a farm. And his father said, "Mary, I hate to call Rob in the mornings. He's growing so fast and he needs his sleep. If you could see how he sleeps when I go in to wake him up, I wish I could manage alone." And mother, being very sensible, she says, "Well, you can't have him." His mother's voice was brisk. "Besides, he isn't a child anymore. It's time he took his turn." "Yes," his father said slowly, "but I sure do hate to wake him." And the little boy says, or the young boy, says, when he heard these words, something in him woke. His father loved him. He had thought of it before, taking for granted the tie of their blood. And it says, too, neither his father nor his mother talked about loving their children. They had no time for such things. There was always so much to do on a farm. So now that he knows, it says, now that he knew his father loved him, there would be no more loitering in the mornings and having to be called again. He got up after that, stumbling with sleep, pulled on his clothes, his eyes tight shut, but he got up. In classical education circles, we call that moral imagination. Probably the most powerful thing about good books. We're creating, we're forming the child through the character lessons that are learned within the stories.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
So you feel like you're not teaching. Not doing our math lessons maybe that week or two or month of December.
Right.
But we are. And then the gathering around, having a place to read. It's just our sofa. But but even today, if my husband pulls out some of the books, even from our curriculum, like these or these picture books, of course he's got an eager
audience there.
Right there.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And I usually do too. I'm right into to listen as well.
Right. So it's captivating about, you know, just really good stories and good books that just draw you in and you know, you want to be part of the story. You want to imagine. And like you said, you picture books, doesn't matter the age. We can all enjoy them.
That's right. And then introducing them to great authors, but through simple stories. So another example of that is another one that we have in our curriculum. We include these every December in different levels all the way up. So this one is Papa Panoff's Special Day. So guess who the author of this long-standing tale is?
I have no idea.
Tolstoy.
Really?
Yes. So Anna Karenina, right? Papa Panoff.
It's much smaller.
Right. It's thin. It's accessible. This one, this is my favorite. When I first read it, it brought me to tears. And I was reading it with Michelle, my daughter, and she and I both were looking at each other. We're just, oh my goodness, it's so touching. This one similarly is about giving, but this is a widower who is feeling lonely. He has this sense that Jesus is coming Christmas Day. He looks for Jesus. It was almost as if in a dream, he was thinking that Jesus himself would be coming Christmas Day. And as he went through his day, he was looking for Jesus. Here's a street sweeper who was cold. He said, I'm looking for Jesus. And then he says, but that poor man looks so thin and hungry and cold. So he invites him in for coffee and tells him of the Christ child who came on Christmas morning. One by one, people who were in need come by. He had made a pair of shoes. He was a shoemaker, this man. He had said, if I had been the wise man, I would have brought this. This is the best I ever made. And he knew now, of course, that Jesus was a man. He was the king and God himself. He had no need of these shoes. But then a mother brings her child down the street. And Papa Panoff invites the mother and the child in. She says, I have no money. And she was embarrassed because the baby had no shoes, and here it is winter. So, of course, you know what happens.
Right.
And so on until at the end, he says, I still had hoped for Jesus, but I had a blessed Christmas day. And as if in a vision, all of the faces of people that he had seen throughout the day pass through. And then there is the verse, whatsoever you have done to the least of these, you have done to me. I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me water. I was cold and you took me in. These people you have helped today, it was as if he was hearing this all the time. You were helping them. You were helping me. And he says, I shall remember that now whenever I read the Christmas story.
Yeah. So, that's really neat. Yeah. Just those powerful, just truths, but told in a way that it's relational, and you know, it takes you through that journey with that person instead of just reading the scripture verse, and then even just being able to turn around and bless others and to teach your children. We have these opportunities around us all the time instead of just this person in the book. People focus on it so much during the Christmas season anyways, and there's so many opportunities to be able to serve and give. And it just puts your heart in the right place, you know, when you read stories like that.
Yes, so true. Right. So how easy is it then from there to help your child with special needs, to think beyond himself? Okay, who do we know that's hungry or thirsty or cold or in need or lonely?
Right.
You don't have to look far. I mean, in our neighborhood, it's just right on our street. We have a lot of elderly people. So children like ours, like my twins, they both have autism. So sometimes that empathy or thinking from someone else's perspective, that's difficult to do. They call it theory of mind in the literature. But really, we're just talking about old-fashioned compassion, empathy.
Right.
Stories can help our children with special needs to think outside of themselves and to think of another person's life from that person's perspective.
Right. Yeah, that's a great, it's so good, because we get so stuck in the mode of, well, it's all about us, and, you know, and it's easy to fall into that, because, you know, we're so focused on caring for our kids and everything in our home, and it becomes overwhelming. We almost have to have seasons like this that interrupt us and tell us, you know, remind us it's more than that. And our focus, even with our children, needs to be towards these things and giving and helping. And it is possible. It just might not be as elaborate as, you know, maybe we did when we were single. So the ability to just move beyond the commercialized traditions of the season and using these books to cultivate really that versus just, you know, we'll pass through, we'll read a couple of books on the couch. It's not just about reading the books.
Right. And choosing the good books that are going to have that kind of impact. And then just slowing down too. We found for my daughter especially that the whole Christmas season was so overstimulating. The sensory overload. We found that we couldn't decorate too early.
Mm-hmm.
They have their trees up already and it's not even Thanksgiving.
I know.
We didn't want to do that. I mean, because we lean more liturgical, so we have Advent first. And
yeah,
but even so, when we had things up too early, it just was too much for her. She was waking up too early. She was discombobulated. We had to go to much more like several decades ago when people would put up their tree Christmas Eve or sometimes 21st or 22nd or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We found that the slowing down during December was really important for her to maintain just her kind of mental equilibrium, I guess.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So, and
for help to do that. You have to just.
Right.
Pages. So a couple of tips. One I mentioned already was to have a globe handy for checking things, like Papa Panov. Well, so Tolstoy was a Russian author. So the man who wrote this book was from Russia. Mm-hmm. We can find out where that is, maybe learn a little bit about Russia or about books, other books that he has written in our house. Go downstairs and see if we could find on our shelves a couple of those very thick books that he wrote.
Right.
and then another tip that was helpful for me with my son was if he was kind of reluctant to sit and read, never had a problem with my daughter, to listen to a story, then I would say, well, we're going to read two. So choose this or this first. Which one would you like to read first?
Oh, yes.
It's so simple, but it made such a difference. Oh, I want this one. So, we have a whole host of things in our bin. This one, classic.
Yes, Charlie Brown Christmas.
So it's not just the program that's on television. And what's nice about this one is you don't have any commercials.
Yeah. So true.
You still get...
or the songs that get stuck in your head. My daughter came home. She works retail. And she's like, oh, that one Charlie Brown Christmas song. It's stuck in my head.
That's right. So you still have that priceless scene. Can anybody tell me what Christmas is all about? And then Linus, alone now on the stage, says, "Lights, please."
Mm-hmm.
And then he spoke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Yeah. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord."
Yeah.
And what we have done is to tie that with the Bible so that they understand this is my grandma's Bible.
Oh, wow.
It was the King James, just like they have in Charlie Brown. Every year, my grandma did. She had a family Bible that she displayed. Mm-hmm. When Sarah behind it always, and then it was always open to Luke too. But we can say that, I mean, we can say, here it is. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior, Christ the Lord.
Yeah.
Yep. So again, linking the books beyond.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Beyond
what we're just reading.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then art. You mentioned the language arts, but
right.
But here's one, the Christmas story from the Metropolitan Museum of Art. There is so much sacred art around.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So I won't read from this one, but I'll just show you. This is, and it came to pass in those days. So there's, let me see. There we go.
Yep, we can see it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then in the back, they have where all of these are.
Where they're displayed and...
Right. So who the artists are. Some are from the Netherlands, some from Italy. Okay. So you can look up the artists. What else have they done? Often, if they've created sacred art for Christmas, they have sacred art for other times in the church year. It's a great time to go over the whole church year with Easter and Ascension and just remembering that this is all part of the salvation story.
Right. Yeah.
Incarnation is where it starts, but we're going.
Yeah. This holiday time, Christmas time, is just a snippet of the larger offerings of the books that, you know, speak into truth, the artwork that speaks into truth. It's all these things that we can constantly be using throughout the year, really. Yeah. That's a great point. Very cool. I love that. And it just seems like it just this type of learning just really anchors what's most important in some very impactful ways that you don't really even have to, as a parent, plan for other than getting the books.
Right. And having them available in a bin or whatever. You can do something more artistic than I did. It could be a lovely basket. It could be something like that. But just having them all in place and pulling them out every year, that for us, that's what made them very special.
Yeah. Yeah. The guest I had on last week, we were talking about Advent, and she had talked about different books and, you know, numbering them each year and or something. And then, you know, pulling out numbers from the Advent calendar and then picking a book from the bin as a way to tie that in. There's just lots of different ways to incorporate that, or to focus on one, or maybe one book and make it even longer. Sometimes we did one book for an entire week, read the same story. How impactful that is. Can you talk a little bit about the importance of that repetition? Especially for our students with those types of things.
We do that in Simply Classical too. We read, especially in the early years in our readiness levels, we will read the same book over and over. We do that in our manners programs too, myself and others. Yeah. We read the same book, but every day we're doing a little bit, we're doing something a little different with it. We might find motor things like point to the butterfly on the page, where we're kind of working on observational skills, but then also isolating that finger, which is kind of a pre-writing skill. But then later you can do things with the art when they're nicely illustrated. So let's look at the art a little more closely this time.
Yes.
We're looking for the details that we might've missed. So we talked about Papa Panoff, the Tolstoy one. This is a great book for that, because the like you have this little cat. He has a cat, and it appears in different pages. There's the cat again. His bed. There it is.
Yeah. So I just, right. Yeah, so make sure that they're paying attention, at least.
Right. And then another thing that we do in the Simply Classical curriculum that you can do with any children's book is to have them replicate one of the scenes. And again, like with my son, he has to have some choices. So choose your favorite scene in the whole book, and then you give him good colored pencils and a good sketch pad. Mm-hmm. Recreate this scene, draw this scene, or it could be watercolors. Mm-hmm. Some children, like our children with autism, sometimes they want it to be exactly the same.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Tracing paper can help. So
great idea.
With a pencil, but in incorporating that art with the books to get attention to detail.
Oh, kind of absolutely.
Minding the book for all of its treasures.
Yes, really, that is it's what you're doing. And it makes the story much more memorable the more experiences you add to it. And I think sometimes we're like, well, we read that book, let's move on to the next one. Or we have to go back to the library because we don't have enough to make it through. and we think quantity is over quality. And just that importance of repeating and really immersing into that. Or, you know, if they made some sort of recipe in the book, find the recipe and make it. And if you've never tried it, just try it. See how it turns out.
We did that with the snow in, there's a little house Christmas book.
Maple candies, but right. In the snow.
Of course, when you have the pristine snow, you can do that. I will say too that of course none of these ideas are mine or original to me. When I was first looking into homeschooling, I found this book that was so inspiring to me. It was mentioned in the Read Aloud Handbook, and I thought, well, I just need to get a copy of this myself. It's Kushla and her books. You can still find old copies of it. It's from the, this little girl was homeschooled starting in 1971, I believe, or she was maybe born in 71. Mm. And actually, she might not have been homeschooled, but they took a book-centered approach to her early development. So they may not have called it homeschooling.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly what they were doing. That's the little girl. She was born with a host of global developmental delays. Fine motor, gross motor, cognitive, vision.
Right.
Just all kinds of challenges. And her parents used a book-centered approach to therapy. It was sort of like book therapy, even helping her learn how to turn a page.
Oh, yeah.
We do that in our curriculum, too. We start with board books because, of course, it's much easier to grasp.
Right.
But like book skills.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time with the cover, too. That's another thing that they did that we do also. So here's another Christmas book. So this is called The Very First Christmas. Mm-hmm. So we talk about what do you think this is going to be about?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Or looking, and of course that's cursive. So if they don't read cursive, we can look at the picture. What do you think this is going to be about? Who do you see in the picture?
Right.
And then talking about who's the author, who's the illustrator, what's the difference between those two.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They did such things with little Kushla. Her intelligence grew in a way that they didn't, the doctors didn't expect. Her vocabulary was higher than doctors expected. It was, as a person with a special ed background, kind of steeped in all of the therapies that you can access. Mm-hmm. Language. I really had never heard of book therapy, but it appealed to me so much that very influential in helping me understand that if we're reading good books and enjoying that time together, it is therapeutic.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't always have to be driving to
that.
We can accomplish a lot just on our own. Mm. And again, require glitter and glue and clean up and accomplish quite a bit just by reading.
Right. Yeah.
Old fashioned just reading with our children.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Making that reading interactive, that back and forth. And that's something that we also lose because, again, we're just trying to get through things at such a quick pace that we forget about we are reading a story, but there's so much more involved in storytelling and being immersing into that story. And yeah, it can be a powerful learning tool, learning experience, and create memories like you started talking about at the very beginning. You know, your daughter's still loving those books that's impactful for their lives when we put in the effort to make that a meaningful part of our traditions, I guess, is really that. So you shared a lot of really good books. And so do you have any resources to share with our listeners if they want to start doing these, and maybe they haven't made the list that you of the books that you shared, and I'm going to go back myself up on this. How did you come about to start picking books? Were some of them like family favorites or off of other book lists, or how did you kind of start your collection if a family was going to want to do that?
That's a very good question. I honestly don't remember.
Oh, no.
We just seemed to acquire some. Maybe they were given to us. I know we had some favorite publishers, so I would look for books through the publishers that I felt like I trusted. Now, some of these have come to us through Memoria Press,
which
is a publisher that I trust.
Yeah.
They have a stellar person choosing children's books. Lee Bo. She's the daughter-in-law of the founder of Memoria Press.
Mm.
She is just really adept at choosing books that are beautifully illustrated, well-told stories that we can trust. So that has those have been wonderful additions to what we amassed accidentally. I really don't have a set plan. It's just that we did. But yes, a resource. So anyone can email me. I have compiled an entire list from ages little bitty or abilities that are young all the way up through high school. Because of course, many of the great writers wrote for the Christmas season or the Christmas message. I think of Dickens, A Christmas Carol. He reads that every year because that's his tradition.
That's neat.
One of his best friends now has a master's in library science. And this friend says, he believes that A Christmas Carol is the best story in terms of beginning, middle, ever written. For him, that's the ultimate story. Anyway, so this list, I did share the link with you, but...
And I'll put it in the YouTube description as well as the podcast description.
So and I think all, if not... I think most, if not all, of those are available through Memoria Press. There are hyperlinks in that.
There. Okay.
But you can also email me, listeners. At memoriapress.com. And it's not memorial. It's memorial. And I will happily send that list along. It is by age or ability.
Mm-hmm.
We have a whole list of picture books for Christmas. And then
that's awesome.
I should also mention that we include read-alouds throughout the year in other subjects. Sure.
Yeah.
So I grabbed a few. I have just found that for my kids, at least, it's been really helpful to supplement things like math with read-alouds. So we actually have arithmetic
read-alouds. Great idea.
For each level as we study different things. This book for right now, how many seeds?
In a pumpkin. Yeah.
This one is great for currently, as is this one.
Mm-hmm.
Now, by the time you're...
I remember reading that.
I think that this is great. Again, history. We're talking about the first Thanksgiving Day for America, but it's also a counting story.
Yeah.
And wonderfully illustrated again. Just warm colors of fall, which you can talk about the colors of fall versus
spring.
When we talk about doubles, we have two of everything. And that idea that we're not just adding one to something, but we're actually doubling. A great way to firm up the concepts. We have one on place value.
Wow.
Money. And also, too, for our kids with, say, dysgraphia or attention difficulties where they're tired of those worksheets,
right?
Or even the hands-on things or the games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What we've done is we've plugged in the read-alouds to where the skills were just taught, and then you kind of sit back and have them sink in a little bit. This one I just found. One of the ones we had gone out of print, so I needed to find it. It's amazing how hard it is to find
a
well-illustrated book for numbers 1 to 100. But I found this one. I love it. It's 100 bucks. It's also a counting book. So that's in there. So anyway, I had talked about the curriculum. We have a magazine.
Oh, yes.
Anyone
classical journal.
It's free. We have articles. We have all of our, all of our things that we offer. That comes. It's like a magazine and a catalog.
Comes
out annually. But you can subscribe at simplyclassical.com, which is on the screen. And then each level has a planner that gives you the lesson plans. And again, Jesus drawing all children to himself. It is a Christian program. We have charter versions though, but we include everything that we talked about.
Very cool.
With daily lesson plans for all subjects with a reader. And then some of the language to use when introducing the books.
Yeah, that's helpful. Too, just to make sure you have that smooth transition into new subjects and so the student knows what to be aware of as they're getting started, and you as a parent do too. Always good to go in knowing what the goals are or the standards of what we're going to talk about, and instead of just going in and say, well, we just got to get these worksheets done. There's a larger purpose than just getting it done.
Yes, much larger. And so what people have said is they really appreciate that. It's not quite scripting, but mm-hmm. there is a lot of verbiage that's included so that you know how to introduce the book, what questions you can ask if you have time.
Yeah, exactly.
Point out. So that's those are included too, so that people say, I'm learning how to teach my child.
Yes. As mm-hmm. That's, yeah, so important, because many of us, unlike you, we're not trained to be teachers. And so I think I found that to be the hardest thing for homeschooling for me, because I wasn't trained to be a teacher. I was trained to be an engineer, and I could talk to engineers all day, but not my kids. And I had no idea how to teach them the concepts. And so it's helpful to have those resources for people like me, especially.
Well, what I did have is, with an engineering background, is an idea of how to have processes.
Yes, processes were good at our house.
We're halfway there.
Yes, exactly. Well, thanks so much, Cheryl. This was, it just warmed my heart to hear the tidbits of stories that you read to me. And so even though we didn't have any questions from our audience tonight, there's few people popping in and out, but yeah, this has been great. And I know that those who will watch later, if you're just popping on now, this hour conversation has been a blessing. Cheryl's been talking about using good books to create great all-in-one unit studies, and also just encourage us as teachers just to be more engaged with our students. I think that those are my big takeaways from today. As yes, we can do so much with so little, and we just have to be purposeful about doing that and taking advantage of those good things that are resources that we can dive into there. And it doesn't have to cost a lot either. It's no, just, yeah.
And you know, mm-hmm. this just occurred to me too, to the mom who is weary or suffering from her own health issues.
Yes.
This happens a lot with our homeschoolers. It happened to me too, where autoimmune things started taking over. And I think we're just so very tired because we're doing so much. This is good news for us too, that we can sit on the sofa and listen to our children, read to them, and talk about books. It's very low energy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are
and very therapeutic to ourselves too, which we need that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That is
absolutely
true.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Cheryl. This has been a blessing to have this hour with you to discuss this, and for all of you that have been joining us, just watching in the wings, we appreciate you. Just know that this broadcast was sponsored by viewers like you. To make a tax-deductible donation to Sped Homeschool, you can visit our website at spedhomeschool.com. And next week, we are still talking about unit studies. Can you believe it? 5 weeks in a row, we've been talking about unit studies, and we still have more to talk about. I have Connor Boyack on next week. He is the author of The Tuttle Twins, and he's going to be talking about how to create unit studies out of current events and historic events, and to bring kind of those into the fold of our discussions and our homes around these holiday type of traditions. But there is so much history. And I know, Cheryl, you talked a little bit about that just through your books, but those history and current events, what is happening now during our holiday seasons that we can kind of bring into that conversation with our children, and not just exclude current events or history because we've got all these busy things that we're doing. So we're going to focus on that as our wrap-up topic for our unit studies this month. So super excited about that. So thanks again, Cheryl. It's always a blessing to have you on, and you always have so much wisdom to share, and just blessings on you and your family over the holidays.
Thank you, Peggy. You too.
Yeah, absolutely. So this was Empowering Homeschool Conversations, and it was brought to you by SPED Homeschool. Definitely go to spedhomeschool.com to get resources and support for teaching your unique learner at home and to help fund our nonprofit outreach to diverse learners. Click on the donate button and give a one-time donation, or consider becoming a monthly supporter. And we'll see you all next week. Take care. God bless. Have a great Thanksgiving, and we'll see you here next Tuesday. We'll see you then. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
I want to take just a second to thank the team at Life Audio for their partnership with us on this podcast. If you go to lifeaudio.com, you'll find dozens of other faith-centered podcasts in their network. They've got shows about prayer, Bible study, parenting, and more.
This has been Empowering Homeschool Conversations with Peggy Ployer.
Want to learn more about God and His will for your life one verse at a time? I'm Quenice Petway, co-host of the Your Daily Bible Verse podcast. I'm inviting you to tune in and subscribe at lifeaudio.com.